Hi, friends, and welcome to the Root and Rise podcast. My name is Brianne, and with each episode, I intend to plant some seeds of insight, help you water them with love, and send you off with a little extra light to help you root and rise. Today, we are talking about how to support somebody who is in an abusive relationship. But first, I would like to acknowledge you, my listener and friend, for being here with me today. You are the reason for this podcast. I appreciate your presence, and I'm really excited to help you root and rise. I am finishing up my series on domestic violence with an episode on how to support a loved one who is in an abusive relationship and how to care for yourself as you care for them. If you haven't listened to my other episodes in this series on speaking out about abuse, post-traumatic growth, resiliency, and trauma-informed language, make sure you check it out. There is a lot of valuable information there for you, whether you are a survivor yourself or trying to help one out. One of my guests, Nicole Miles, offers her own advice on how to support someone in an abusive relationship in those episodes as well. And make sure you send this podcast to your friend. I would love to be on your team supporting them through their healing. I am a survivor of domestic violence and a very active advocate for other survivors. I even help co-host weekly talks on the Peanut app under the group We Are Survivors, Not Victims. If you send them my way, I will make sure they get the information about that. The link will be in my show notes for you to pass along as well. Now, I would love to introduce you to Beth, an expert on supporting loved ones through abusive relationships and helping them get out of them. Hi, Beth. Thank you so much for being on my podcast today. I would love to hear a little bit about why this topic is so important to you and your experience with it.
So this is a topic that I have had a lot of experience with in the past. At this point in your life, there's a strong possibility that everybody you've met has either been in a bad relationship or has encountered somebody that has been in a bad relationship. Maybe you yourself have been in a bad relationship. And there's a lot that can go into that. There's a lot of different emotions, thoughts, and feelings. And one of the key factors in removing somebody from a bad situation is they need to have a strong support system. And sometimes that can be a little bit difficult to find. And I have found some ways to help in that regard, to help in those situations that may be beneficial for a lot of people to hear.
And so, having seen so many different situations in your life, what were some of the warning signs that you saw in those relationships that kind of gave you a clue that something might not be right and you needed to offer a different type of support to them?
So sometimes it was just as simple as, you know, every day when you see them or every time you meet up with them, they just seem a little off or down. Sometimes it can be more evident in your face. You see bruises or markings or, you know, covering up in the middle of summer, those kinds of things. Maybe they're just trying to avoid the sun. Maybe there's something more going on beneath the surface. I would say there's never one specific thing. Usually it comes through conversations. How are you doing? How have things been? And if you have a good relationship with this person and they trust you enough, more often than not, they'll tell you if things maybe aren't as good as they should be.
I've been in that situation too, where you can kind of pick up on some clues and how they tell you conflict is handled in their relationships or the types of arguments that they have, the things that they argue over and the things their partner gets upset with. I know that some of the warning signs that I had or that I noticed other people notice. I remember one situation being in school and having a teacher call me out on bruises and being able to deny them or give them any story I could think of off the top of my head. Not all warning signs look the same, but I did create a list of some other common warning signs for an abusive relationship just to be sure that you know what else you can look for. Those warning signs are going to be things like canceling plans abruptly, isolating themselves, new or worsening signs of depression, and having an unusual sense of privacy surrounding their relationship. I say unusual because I know that some people tend to just be more private by nature, but I'm talking about someone's behavior drastically changing surrounding privacy. Or maybe you see changes in their self-esteem. They're starting to become extremely apologetic or acting as if they're a burden on others. And I mentioned the types of arguments that they have because abusive relationships tend to have arguments over matters of control, like their partner is jealous or possessive and might get mad when they spend time with you or anyone else. Or maybe their partner is controlling their spending, so you see an unusual nervousness surrounding purchases. Your friend puts your partner's needs before their own in all areas of their life. More warning signs include frequent bruises, cuts, strange marks. Some of the more common ones you see might be black eyes, bruises on arms, busted lips, red or purple marks on the neck, and sprained wrists. And they're probably dodging a lot of questions about it or trying to make jokes to avoid it. And honestly, just trust your intuition. Are you getting weird vibes around their partner or a bad feeling when you're watching them interact with one another? We can pick up on a lot of things subconsciously, and I always try to trust my gut feeling when it comes to other people. You can be open to letting them prove you wrong, but be mindful about those initial feelings. I know that I had some friends that tried to, you know, bring up the types of arguments that that partner and I were having and how they seemed to be isolating me a little bit, and they were a little bit concerned. I know that it's really difficult to navigate how you offer support because I pushed this friend away. I cut her off. I quit talking to her. Years later, after I left, I apologized profusely and told her she was right. I just wasn't ready to accept it. It's hard because people can be protective of their abuser. I know it sounds crazy, but I was incredibly protective of mine and quit talking to that friend over it. You can also be in such denial that you don't even realize what's happening, and you're trying to convince yourself that it's not that bad. It's okay. It's not that they didn't mean it. That situation was unique to you in that situation, and they're not a bad person.
To your point, sometimes they're not a bad person. You know, addiction hits different people different ways. Alcohol can be a factor. And yes, you are not responsible for that person's actions. And, you know, some people have that mentality of, well, I made my bed, I need to lie in it. Or I chose to marry this person. You know, I can't break this up because of that. Or there's a lot of shame or guilt that can come into place. Like, yes, you've isolated friends and family because they told you it was a bad situation and you don't want to admit that, or they're going to make you feel bad, or there's always the possibility that they could throw it in your face, or maybe they won't, but you're not sure. That's where I've found with people I've watched go through these situations, being that emotional support is so key. My role in these friendships kind of came into place. I knew what was going on. I recognized the situation. I talked to them about the situation and the things that I saw. But I also understood that they weren't ready to leave, or they weren't ready to acknowledge everything that seemed so clear to me in those moments. And I had to sit back and be patient, but I told them very explicitly. And every time I've encountered this type of situation, I make it very clear. I will continue to let you handle this situation to the best of your abilities until I feel that you are no longer in control of the situation, and then I will remove you. You know, it's tricky with especially physical abuse, because you don't want to see anybody you care about get hurt. But at the same time, if they're not ready to leave and you pull them out of that situation, they're just going to go right back. And then they're going to cut you out, or they're going to isolate you, or their abuser is going to cut you out and isolate you and separate the two of you. And then that person could truly be lost. So it takes a lot of patience, checking in, and just generally, you want to be there for that person, because eventually they will hit a point where they're done, or they've noticed something, or they can't take it anymore, or they're scared, or it's gone too far, and they need somebody that they know that they can trust, that they can call, or that can get them out of that situation. And that's where that comes in. That's where I have played that role for those people. No questions asked, no judgments, no guilt. You need me, I'm there. Let's get you out. Let's get things put back together for you.
It takes an average of 7 times for people to leave their abuser. It definitely took me a few times, and I'm curious to hear how it was for you as somebody supporting somebody else in an abusive relationship. Have you dealt with somebody going back? And if so, how did you handle that personally? Because I know that would be really hard to hear.
So I would say that you're pretty close to spot on. When you're in an abusive relationship, there's so much that goes into it, because logically you'd think, oh, well, if this person is hurting me, I should not want to stay with them. I should want to leave. But it's never that cut and dry, and it's never that simple. Like I said, and it could be a multitude of reasons that you stay with them. Maybe you have a shared family. Maybe you are financially dependent on them and don't think you can survive on your own. Or maybe you got together super young and that's the only life you've ever known, or many, many, many different things can come into play. So each situation has to kind of be looked at independently for the factors at play, because yes, there might be somebody that's being abused, but their abuser has completely cut them off from all finances. They don't have a dime to their name outside of that. So if they do try to leave, you know, even if you get them out, there may be a point where they don't have any other family that can support them, or they have to go back because of financial means or because of children or various other things. So it's just staying the course, keeping an eye on them and the situation, and keeping that line of communication open, I think, is the biggest key. If you come across judging or accusatory, you're going to lose that connection, and you're going to lose that opportunity to be that person to help pull them out, even if it takes a few times, you know, and showing them, reminding them of their self-worth, letting them know that they do deserve better than this. It's never okay to be in those situations, but you've just got to be patient and recognize that it's never that cut and dry. It's never that simple. There's always more things at play. And the more you know, the better you can help assist them when that time does come. Maybe it is a matter of you've got kids and you don't know where you could go or what you can do. So as the friend, the supporter in this situation, always having information on hand about shelters, resources, you know, usually those aren't the places they want to go, but if the situation's at that point, it's better than nothing. You know, I've always been the person, my couch is always open, no matter what. Just knowing that they do have a safe place and a safe space that they can get to, you know, and if they're worried about money or this, that, or the other, let them know that, you know, those things will figure it out. Right now, removing you from the situation is the most important thing. We'll figure out the details later. Don't worry about the details. Everyone, that can be another reason why people stay, because they're so, okay, well, I can't do this because of this, this, and this. We will figure that out later. Let's just get you safe, get you out. The rest will come when it comes.
And I love that, being there without judgment, because like in my situation, I did cut somebody off for feeling that judgment, whether or not it was correct. It didn't really matter. When you are there listening ear, it's important to document what you hear as well, if you can. That documentation can come back to help protect them. I found a lot of emails and text messages where I was discussing a lot of this and have them saved for evidence if it ever becomes an issue later on. I've had experiences with other friends going through some abusive relationships and making note of it, the day, the time, what happened, if there were marks, what I experienced, if I saw it, because there have been times where I've seen the abuse happen. Just making sure that you keep that on hand for protection, because you never know. And worst case scenario, just have a little note on your phone filled with information that's never used. That's actually best case scenario.
Better to have it, not need it.
Exactly. And as their listening ear, one of the other powerful things that you can do to help support them is believe them. When they're telling you about experiences that they are going through, whether it's in the relationship or just challenges outside of the relationship, believe them. Survivors get questioned a lot. Their reality is shifted from the eyes of their abuser, and they don't even believe themselves sometimes. They don't know what to believe. You believing them might be what it takes for them to start believing themselves and to understand that the reality that they are seeing is not as skewed as they think it is. That's one of the ways that you can empower them. I talked about using trauma-informed language in my interview with Nicole Miles. Our words have a lot of power, and to be able to use them in a way that will help support this loved one while they're working through an abusive relationship could make all of the difference. So just being mindful of the words that we are using and the way that we are speaking to this loved one, are we doing it in a way that can help empower them, that can help them find their voice and stand strong in this truth? This can also be done by leading by example, talking about your own experience with toxic relationships or healthy relationships, what it looks like, what you know you deserve and what you need in a relationship, how you deserve to be treated by others. By doing this, you are not doing it necessarily in response to their issues. you're doing it in a way that is just kind of a blanket statement, and you're planting seeds for what's healthy, what's not healthy, what they deserve, what they don't deserve. And you're doing it by how you speak about yourself. You're really painting a picture for how relationships should be and how they should be treated. They may not be able to see it themselves, and they may not be able to see it right now, but they will one day, and it would be because of you leading by example. You can also encourage them to pour back into themselves. A lot of times they're so focused on their abuser and even just in survival mode, trying to get by moment to moment, that they don't stop to take care of themselves. Really using any chance you can to encourage them to seek out hobbies outside of the relationship, to do things that they feel passionate about, that give them worth and value. Even just encouraging basic self-care, you can invite them to go get a pedicure or a manicure, showing them that they can treat themselves gently and with kindness and respect. You know, that relationship really begins within themselves. We accept the love that we think we deserve. And if they start giving themselves a love that is greater than the one that they're currently accepting, it might help them see the world a little differently. It could drastically change how they feel they deserve to be treated. You're going to do these things to slowly help them build their strength back up, because they're going to need that strength. And kind of in the background, you could start researching safety plans. So that way hopefully when, they come to you and they're ready to leave, you can help them through step by step, because you already know what to expect. You already know what's coming. You already know what to look out for to protect them. Making sure that you have a list of local recommendations that you can just quickly hand over to them if they need it. And really just preparing for what's hopefully to come, which is them leaving. But also remembering that it takes on average 7 times for a survivor to leave their abuser. Which really leads into my next question. Have you ever experienced a situation where you have to be around the abuser?
Absolutely. It can be difficult at times, because here you see this person who's living their life, doing their things, going about their day. And at the same time, you know that they are hurting a person that you care about. And, you know, maybe it's a connection through an employer, or it's a connection through another friend, connection through a family. And, you know, it's never an easy situation to look that person in the face and know what they're doing. But at the same time, for me personally, it became a matter of, I see you, I know what you're doing, but I know if I cross you or if I get on your bad side, the first thing you'll do is you'll cut off my relationship with the other person involved. And that was more important. My feelings for the person I cared about were stronger than my negative feelings towards the person causing the abuse. And I had to kind of reconcile that within myself, because getting that person out was more important than calling that person out on the situation. Even if I had proof and evidence, that wasn't the point. It was more a matter of, you almost had to kind of hide and not let them know that you know, even though you know, because the most, like, and I'll probably repeat myself multiple times here, but the most important thing is maintaining your relationship with the person that you care about. And that takes some personal sacrifice, and I don't want to say turning a blind eye, but just being aware that if you cross this person, you know what they're capable of, because you know that they're hurting somebody you care about. What lengths are they willing to go to keep that person in their lives? They will cut you out. They will cut off that communication. They are generally very manipulative individuals who will manipulate the person that you care about into thinking it's their idea to cut you out. Like, oh, that person's not a really good friend after all. Or always remembering the goal in mind, keeping that in focus. What is the goal? To be there for the person and to get them out of the situation when they are ready. You can't do that if you confront their abuser on their behalf. No matter how well intended, it's never going to go well.
When you are in these types of situations as the supporter, you can't be there for that other person if you're not being there for yourself. And I understand that you care about this other person, but you can't be there for them if it's to your own detriment. I would love to hear what you've done to care for yourself in these types of situations to be sure that you can turn around and care for them.
That is an excellent question. At times it is. It's very easy to forget yourself, especially when you're wrapped up in something that is and can be as volatile as those situations can be. So for me, I am a giver. I will always try to be there for everybody and do all the things. And yes, sometimes that can be very overwhelming. You know, you feel like you've got the weight of everything on your shoulders. So for me, it was important to kind of take a step back and look at, you know, maybe I do need to, I've been focusing so much on this person in this situation, touch base on other relationships with other people that are outside of that situation, you know, still make time for other friends, other things, hobbies. I personally love to read. That's always been my form of escape. So, you know, maybe I climb into a book for a while. I might shut off my phone for a bit and just climb into a book for several hours and kind of lose myself in that world. It is okay to set your phone down and not have it glued into your hand, because it can, having that anxiety about, I hope they're okay, I hope they're all right. It's always on your mind, but it can't always be in the forefront of your mind. So go out to dinner with other people, go to movies, still live your life, do your job, do the things that you love and enjoy. I also love to travel, you know, maybe taking a road trip, turn on some good music, just kind of zone out for a bit. But always kind of come back to center and come back to focus, because you're 100% right. If you are so overwhelmed, or if you're taking on too much, when that person is finally ready to make those moves, you're not going to be able to provide them with the support that you so desperately want to be able to provide them with.
Yes, you can't pour from an empty cup. So for anyone listening to this, trying to help a friend, family member, or loved one through an abusive relationship, I hope you remember to care for yourself. Pour back into yourself and know that you can't be on top of your game if you don't take some time to worry about yourself. And also know that you can't control anyone else. You can't make anyone do anything that they're not ready to. It's painful to sit and watch someone that you love hurt and continue to stay in that hurt. You're going to have some negative feelings about the situation. So find a healthy release for those moments that you feel frustrated, defeated, or just plain exhausted from supporting them. I know that your love for them will keep you fighting for them, but you got to give yourself a break to recover sometimes. Now, before we go, I'm wondering if you have any extra advice for someone supporting a friend or a loved one that is in an abusive relationship.
If you see somebody in a situation that is in immediate danger, please contact local authorities immediately. That is your last straw, your most desperate measure. But if that person's life is in danger, that's not the time to sit back and not take action and wait. That is time to take action on their behalf, no matter what the consequences look like, because sometimes things can get out of hand really quickly and escalate really quickly.
And that comes back to, I mean, you warn the person, it sounds like, when you say, I will be there for you until it gets too out of hand that you can't handle it yourself.
Yeah, that's that point. And it is, it's a fine line between encouragement, letting them know that they're not alone and that you're there to support them, but also make sure that when you're having these talks and you're in these communications with the person that you care about, it's okay to let them know that what's happening to them is not okay. You see the behavior and it's not acceptable, but I understand that you're not ready to leave yet, and that's okay. I'm with you. We will, you know, maybe that point never comes. Maybe things do get better and it's a non-issue, but if it's not, I am here for you. Whatever that looks like.
And how lucky they are to have you, Beth. And you, my listener and friend. The fact that you are listening to this episode shows me how much you care about this person in your life and how much you want to support them. Whether their abuse is physical, mental, emotional, financial, or whatever form, I know how hard it is to try to support them through it. I know how badly you want them to leave. I know how frustrating it is that they can't see it. Really, I've been on both sides. I see you. And I hope today's episode will help you get the same level of support that you give, because you truly deserve it. And thank you for all of the work that you are doing for this person. If you are suffering from abuse or need resources to heal, please call the Domestic Violence Hotline at 1-800-799-7233 if you are in the United States. can also visit loveisrespect.org, where they have a phone call, chat, or text option if you need to contact somebody. If you are outside of the U.S. and need resources, I will include some in my show notes for you. You are also more than welcome to reach out to me if you need anything. Thank you for tuning in to the Root and Rise podcast. As always, I am so grateful to have you here with me today. I hope that this has brought you some insight and inspired you to root and rise in your own life. I love hearing from you. So please follow me on Instagram at Root and Rise Podcast, and be sure to send your comments, questions, or just reach out to say hello. I love making new friends. If you would like to review notes on today's episode, head over to rootandriseblog.com. Make sure to subscribe. And if you loved what you heard today or know someone who would benefit from hearing it, please take a screenshot and tag me to share this on your social media. My name's Brianne, and until next time, I'll be sending you so much light so you too can root and rise.